But as we mentioned, there's four teams in baseball who are sitting home and sitting pretty, man. They don't have to worry about a thing this weekend. And I wonder if Alex is maybe celebrating Canadian Thanksgiving down in the States, understanding that he's just kind of sitting back and watching, because the Atlanta Braves, as we know, won the NL East, and they have a bye through the wild card round. And here he is, the GM of the Braves and the president of baseball operations. Here is Alex Anthopoulos joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Any Canadian Thanksgiving plans this weekend, Alex, or what?
I'm going to watch Jays tomorrow. Guarantee that. I'm excited to watch all these playoff games. And I'm excited. Actually, my family, because we don't play till Tuesday, we have, you know, we're off today and tomorrow, and then we're going to have an official workout Saturday, Sunday. But they're actually going to head back, and my wife is going to head back and see family with the kids. And so they'll be in Toronto tomorrow. But I'm excited for the city, just knowing what it's like and how electric it is. And I love the fact that, like, the world, when the team's in the postseason, the world gets a chance to see the city and the fan base and everything else. It's cool. It's a great experience, and everyone gets to see what a great spot it is and great organization and obviously the fans. So it's going to be fun, and I just like the fact that we don't know who we're playing yet. We can get a little bit of a break. I'm so fried and exhausted by the season, by our three games against the Mets, and then we went to Miami, and even that, there was an element of stress because this went down to the wire, and winning 100 games for the first time as a GM and knowing that it came down to the second to last day was kind of crazy. But I am just going to try to enjoy games tomorrow and do a little bit of work, but just sit back and enjoy it.
Can you take us through the journey, being 10 back of the Mets, and ultimately what happened? Just how did that happen for you guys? How fun was that to watch?
Oh, it wasn't fun at all. It's awful. I'm not kidding. It's not. It's stress, right? It's not. You're not sitting there, you know, like, look, you get to 10.5 back. You're like, it's going to be rough. But you know that you just have to keep grinding. And, you know, the cliche of take it a day at a time. We really do, right? We don't. Like, I'd always get asked about all the time media, well, how you're so many games back and this and that. And we just weren't playing well. We weren't good, you know. And my answer, and it was true, was, and I'd say it to in the clubhouse or to ownership, like, we need to get our house in order ourselves. Like, forget what everyone else is doing. Like, it's not going to matter even if those teams fall. Like, we're not good enough right now. We need to tighten it up and get things cleaned up and just get going. So, you know, every year I've been here, this is 5 in a row I've been here, and every year there's a story to every season. You have to kind of find yourself and make changes and tweaks and this and that. And look, we expected to have a good team coming into the year. We just didn't get off to a good start. But we ultimately knew the talent was there. We just needed to find our groove. And as we kept playing better and it started getting close, then you're like, man, we have a shot at this thing. But, you know, the goal is to get in, obviously to win the division. But as long as you're in, you have a shot, you know. So, of course, it's easier if you win the division. It's definitely easier if you get a bye. But it doesn't mean for those teams that don't that they can't do it. They absolutely can, especially if those teams can win two in a row. Then you still get the off days and you can still move forward.
So when you're 10.5 back, do you change, like, the home screen? Is it the wild card standings at this point that you're more focused on, or do you always allow the NL East to take, you know, center stage?
I mean, you know, I have the MLB app, so it's always, you know, it's you pick your team, so obviously it's Braves, and so it'll always show up. That division will show up first, and so on. But, you know, you don't really scoreboard watch that much early on, especially we just needed to get things going. But look, as we started to chip away, you started thinking, you know, we have a shot at this thing. And, you know, we knew we had a ton of games left against the Mets, and it's very similar to 2015 Toronto, where, you know, we hadn't played well. Our run differential was really good. We had a bunch of games against the Yankees still left. So we knew that if we got it going, we still could to get there and win the division and so on. So same type of thing. We didn't play New York much early on, and we knew we had time. But, you know, as we're playing better and we're doing what we need to do, and, you know, the way the season works is you're trying to stay alive and stay close, and you're trying to basically be in a position at the trade deadline where you want to add. and because you know you're unlikely to do anything before the end of July unless it's an internal stuff. So we went to the, you know, you only have so many cards to play. So, you know, we call guys up, you move guys around, you do all that stuff, and you hope that that buys you enough time, and you're kicking the can down the road, and you're trying to just get to the first 4 months of the season and keep yourself alive and keep yourself close. And then finally, you know, teams will finally engage you and be active. You know that you've got a second wave of options to consider at the trade deadline, but you can call teams in May and June, and they're not going to hang up the phone on you, but it's very difficult to get someone to engage in trades early. So you're on your own for the first 4 months, and you have to try stuff the entire way. But as we kept playing better and we were getting closer, we thought it was more real. But, you know, we always had the playoffs in mind, and if we could win the division, even better.
Was there a TSN turning point for you when you started to chip away, like a moment where you're, I don't know, did you go into the clubhouse and you have to raise your voice, or was your manager, was there a moment in time where you knew, okay, that was the time that we were able to turn it around and put it all together, or was it a slow build and you just chipped away at that lead?
Good plug on the TSN turning point there.
Yes,
but, and I don't think our guys down in the clubhouse, I don't think our guys in the clubhouse would know what I mean when I say TSN turning point. But you know what? Normally, I guess in past years, I'd say there would be a moment or a game or a series. But I would say this. We actually, when I look at it now, when it's the first time I've been asked this question, we went to New York the first time early in the year, we split the series, and then we went in late and we lost 4 out of 5. We just have to trade deadline, and that was a big series. And I think everyone's like, it's over for us, and so on. And we had a series in Miami. We had 4 games in 3 days. We had some starters banged up. We had to use a lot of our kids, and we had the Mets coming in the following week. So I remember when I was there, you know, a year ago at this time, you know, we got asked by our players to put an ice cream machine in the clubhouse. We finally did it. They swore we would win if we did it. So obviously, if it works, great. So I just did it. A soft serve ice cream machine. So we're playing Miami, and we had the Mets coming up after Miami, and we had to move our starters back because we had the Mets and the Astros right after Miami, which were like, this is the stretch of the season for us because these are really great teams. And we swept the series, the 4 games. But I remember Travis d'Arnaud, our starting catcher, came to me and said, hey, can we get the ice cream machine back? I'm telling you. Because they had it in the visiting clubhouse when we played the Red Sox, and we won both games. I'm telling you, it was great vibes. The guys are getting around the machine. They're hanging out. That's why we won the games. So, and we knew we were facing Scherzer and DeGrom in the 4-game series against the Mets. So I'm like, what are the chances we're going to, you know, sweep the series or take 3 out of 4? I said, all right, Trav, if you can win 3 out of 4 against the Mets, the ice cream machine comes back. So we won 3 out of 4 against the Mets. After Kenley Jansen gets the save, these guys are all on the high-five line doing the soft serve, pulling the thing, like they're getting ice cream. They're all yelling ice cream. And we got the ice cream machine the following day, and we played the Astros. We played them. We won that series as well. And we really just, you know, we had been playing better, but we started to roll.
So the TSN turning point was soft serve ice cream.
Familiar.
That what you're telling us?
Familiar.
Yeah, and I'll give another plug. We initially got some machine. It didn't go that well. And then Chick-fil-A stepped up, which is got one there in Toronto. I think close to the Eaton Center. And they actually stepped up and gave us one with, you know, well, a year ago it was kind of a generic one. This year they got all kinds of flavors and toppings. It was a legit high-end soft serve Chick-fil-A ice cream machine. It's still in there. Look, it'll be gone at the start of 23, but if it helps us win in 22, I'm all in.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I'm wondering exactly, did you have like an ice cream truck for the final series against New York and Atlanta? Because you guys swept
them. Yeah.
I mean,
if we need a Ferris wheel to help us win, I'm doing that too. So whatever works.
Well, it did, because in that series, I mean, this most recent one, as you know, you faced DeGrom and Scherzer again. Like, it's like the way you speak of them, clearly it's out of respect. Like, those two are just phenomenal talents.
Oh. Yeah, look, they're a great team, right? They won over 100 games as well. Their rotation's amazing. Those two starters are as good as you're going to find in the game. And, you know, that means our starters and our bullpen, our offense, everything needs to click to beat those guys. And, look, we knew our path to the division is at minimum we had to win 2 out of 3 to stay alive. And to put it in our own hands, we needed a sweep. And the fact that our guys stepped up and did that, and the Mets knew that obviously they just needed to win one game and then they were in the driver's seat as well. So with everything going on and how good those guys, and you know, we lined up our starters, they lined up theirs. We had lost one of our best young starters in Strider, but we still felt good with the other three that we had going out there. And for them to come through and win three in a row in that kind of series, they were playoff games. It was, we all talked about it before. It was a playoff series for us. I'm sure it was a playoff series for them. It was, the energy was incredible. And I do think the experience of the past 4 years helped us in series like that, because our guys now, they're very even keeled. They're very calm. And I think they've experienced everything. And I think that's really come through in times like this.
Alex, you said you're going to watch the Jays. What is that experience like for you when you turn that on? Is it, I mean, some people that have been let go by organizations, they're hate watching. There's some people it's in their blood. They played for an organization. They might coach somewhere else, but they still love that team that they played for, and they love watching it. What's your experience like watching the Jays?
Yeah, mine's good. You know, look, obviously it's not to rehash 7, 8 years ago, whatever it was, but obviously, it was a choice I made to leave, very hard one. But look, I could have stayed at the same time, right? And who knows where I'd be in my career? Would I still be there today? You know, that's impossible to know. But look, it worked out in the end. You know, it was a lot of twists and turns for me. But you know, I was offered a great contract, and you know, given an opportunity there, and obviously, always going to have pride in Canada, being Canadian. Family still was there. Now, a lot of my family on my wife's side, they're big Jays fans, you know, and they're obviously going to follow the Braves. But I've even told, you know, my relatives and so on, like, I've had to change teams, L.A., Atlanta. You know, you guys can stay Jays fans no matter what at all times. You know, you can still cheer for us. And I'm always going to have ties to that place. So, and I still have friends there, obviously, and people that I like and enjoy and people I had relationships with and the people. So I want to see them do well. I'm excited about it. I still, like we talked about in the past, I still follow the Leafs. I still follow the Raptors. Though I am a Hawks fan, like big Atlanta Hawks fan, because I get to go to games with my son, and the organization has treated me great. And I do follow the NFL team as well. But I do follow those teams, and it's fun, you know. And I like the fact that being here in the States, that people will be talking about what an awesome environment. And, you know, I'm proud when people ask, where are you from? What have you done? I'm Canadian. Grew up in Montreal. Lived in Toronto. Like, that's a source of pride for me. So it's a chance where I get to stick my chest out at the same time, because they're going to put on a great show, the fans and the organization.
Well, that's definitely a two-way street. I think I could speak for all of us up here in Canada saying, you know, we're tracking your success, and it's been one hell of a ride. And I'm curious, you know, with your own guys, whether it's in Atlanta, you know, back in the day when you're up here in Toronto, we're chatting with Alex Anthopoulos. We were mentioning what Alec Manoah said today. Manoah's taking the mound tomorrow, and he's been lights out. I mean, we're not telling you anything you don't know, Alex, but his whole season has been phenomenal for such a young kid. But he's saying, you know, we're peaking at the right time. We feel good about our game. There's no pressure. We're just going to go out there and ball. Is like, how do you? What do you want to hear out of your players before the playoffs start? Do you want them to ooze confidence? Do you want them to be a little bit more subdued? What kind of advice do you have for your players when talking about the upcoming playoffs?
I think, you know, one, playing well going in is always a good thing. Being confident, a good thing as well. And I think back to, again, we hadn't been in the postseason in forever. 2015, those first two home games against the Rangers, I think our guys were so amped up. We made a bunch of errors. We lost the games. And we are a great defensive club. And I never asked the players about it, even after the fact. Were we too amped up? Were they? But they were uncharacteristic. You know, those, the way we lost, they were uncharacteristic losses. We were a really good defensive club, and we just didn't end up playing well. So, look, in a short series, anything can happen. Bad breaks, errors, things like that. But we finally, obviously, did settle in and won the next three, and we were a really good team. But there was some nerves there. But I do think, like, if you take a guy like Stroman, who had swagger, confidence, you know, he had never experienced the postseason before, and he stepped up. So I think certain guys have a mentality. Jose Bautista had never been in the postseason, but you just knew he lived for the moment, loved the moment. The more people in the stands, the better he would perform. So there's a sense that even though some guys don't have experience, you just have a sense of certain guys that they want the ball, they want the moment at the plate. They're wired that way, and you just have a sense that those are the guys that are going to end up playing really well. So I think it comes down to the mentality of each guy, and most of those guys with swagger and confidence will certainly show up.
Well, enjoy the weekend. You guys get to sit back and watch other teams just battle it out and duel and try to get through, and then you'll be home free come Tuesday back down in Atlanta. So congrats on a great season. Good luck with the pursuit of a back-to-back World Series, and we always appreciate you doing this. Thank you, Alex.
All right, guys. Really glad to do it. See ya.
You got it. Alex Anthopoulos joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com.
I can't believe that the players went to the manager and was like, can you put some ice cream in our dressing room? We'll play
better.
The
best part is Noodles, where he has talking with ownership saying, we need to get our house in order. And then the players come to him and say, can we get a soft serve ice cream machine? His head must have wanted to pop off of its body. He's just leaving the owner's office saying, get your you-know-what in order. And then he's got 20 guys making zillions of dollars asking for an ice cream machine.
This is where sports are different, right? Like, that different sports are different, like baseball compared to basketball, football, hockey. Like, I just can't imagine, I can't fathom that thought. Like, I know baseball is just a relaxed sport in certain situations, and we see it with the Jays. The guys are—they're losing. Doesn't matter. They're in the dugout having a good time, laughing it up. But it's just—I could never have, as a player, gone to my coach or gone to my GM and be like, "Hey, really, you know, would enjoy some donuts in the back." You know,
right.
The guys that like.
They had it in Boston. Come on, why don't we have it? Now you'd think they'd be playing with house money. They did just win a World Series.
That's right? Fair.
And I love how he said after. You know, they close out a game, everyone's out there doing the soft serve, like mimicking the soft serve.
No, but what about the one guy telling him, he's like, come on, man, it's good chemistry. Guys are hanging around the ice cream machine, talking like everyone's together. That is the most ridiculous thing.
What do you think the trainer's
I've ever
thinking?
Heard?
Like, all I can think about is now, again, different body types, all of that type of stuff, but guys, like, you know, having that type of junk in the room.
Yeah, what about the nutritionist? Like, what does the nutritionist think of the ice cream machine being delivered by Chick-fil-A?
And maybe there's a guy who carries too much weight as it is, and you see four or five times going up there. Like, I've seen it on the road.
So excited!
Steve Ballmer sitting there. I think that could be actually somewhat of a grueling endeavor. If you're a dude that's, you know, tipping the scales and you've been told to stay off it, it's the last thing you need in the clubhouse.
Of course.
You'd be so self-conscious, you'd be thinking everyone's watching you. You know, like you're, and then, you know, if you want to go for seconds and third, you got to play it off like, you got to wait for someone else to get up there and pretend like you just discovered it and, you know, like, it's tough.
I played with a guy who had to be on the bike extra because his body fat was too high. He was carrying too much weight. And on the road, oh, you know these pregames. Like, there is cookies and ice cream and all sorts of things at the pregame meal. But all eyes were on this guy because he would have a plate to take to his room, and he would put cookies on it, put another plate over top of it. And basically, this guy's a grown-ass man sneaking cookies out of the room.
Right.
Like
he's in jail.
Out of the meal room.
Yeah,
that was my first ever conversation with Peter Laviolette. Said, any non-game day, you're here an hour early and you're on the treadmill for 45 minutes before you go out for practice. Every day. I was like, what are you talking about?
You imagine there was a soft serve staring at you while you're on that bike?
I think if he saw, if Lavi, because my roommate became the assistant coach with Lavi, and my roommate called me up and he's like, look, man, Lavi thinks you're out of shape, and get ready for it. And I'm like, oh, God. So I hate Lavi before I even meet him. And I'm not kidding you. Lavi was intense. And I swear to you, if he turned the corner and saw my fat ass going around an ice cream machine, he would have tackled me from behind and started fighting me. Like, that's how intense he was.
You know what I picture, which would be hysterical? You talk about a reaction. Is the soft serve gets put into the room, and then the trainer's got to go back and tell Lavi, and Lavi goes, which player wanted it? And the guy goes, Jeff O'Neill. Can you imagine his reaction if he heard you were the one advocating for the soft serve?
Worst start ever to a relationship. He was like, 45 minutes every day. And my response was, and it's fact, like I wasn't lying to him. I go, Lavi, you got a giant booger in your nose. And you got to get it out. And he's like, oh, okay. And so he gets this big toonie-sized booger out of his nose. And the next day, he's like, remember, 45, and I know Lavi, and I'm like, by the way, you're flying low, bud. And it just, from there, it was toxic.
Probably not your wisest decision.
Why would you point out a booger, like, the first time you meet somebody? Be like,
it was
hey,
a guy-to-guy thing. Like, he had a giant, the size of a toonie. It was a toonie-sized booger in his nose, and I said, you got to get it out.
You got to let it go.